This Shabbos we study the third parak of Pirkei Avos. So I want to look at a Mishnah from the third parak, a teaching of Rabbi Akiva. We have quite a few teachings of Rabbi Akiva. Tonight's topic is an impossibly deep topic, so if you came looking for answers, you're not going to get any. But at least we'll scratch the surface together of a really, really deep question that every Jew grapples with, that any thinking person grapples with. And it's the idea that's presented in source number one, Rabbi Akiva Omer. Hakol tzafoy v'harishus nisuna. There's more to the Mishnah, but let's focus on those couple of words. Hakol tzafoy v'harishus nisuna. Now, to translate the words, is already going to offer interpretation of the words. Hakol tzafoy, everything is seen, everything is perceived. If you look in source number three, the pasuk in Mishlei tells us, b'chol makom einei Hashem, the eyes of God are everywhere. Sofos ra'im v'tovim. Hashem sees good, and Hashem sees bad. Hashem sees everything. So says the Mishnah, Hakol tzafoy, everything is seen. V'harishus nesuna, and yet permission is granted. What does that mean? So let's look at a couple of explanations. If you look in the commentary of Avadi Mivar Tanura, one of the classic commentaries on the Mishnayos, written about 500 years ago, he writes in source number 5, Hakol tzafoy, it's a rather frightening Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva is reminding us, Hakol tzafoy, kol ma sha'adam ose bechedre chadarim galoy lefanav. Everything that a person does, there's no place to hide in the world. When Adam and Chava thought they were hiding, they weren't really hiding. Throughout history, there are people who are trying to hide from God, to run from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees what's going on, that which we do publicly, that which we do privately. The Mishnah warns us elsewhere in Pirkei Avos that a person who sins privately will eventually be exposed publicly. And unfortunately, that's a harsh reality that people face. So, kol ma sha'adam osa bechedre chadar, and whatever a person does, says Rav Avadi Mivar Tanura, whatever one does in seclusion, in the privacy of one's inner rooms, galoy lefanav, Hashem knows exactly what you're up to. Hashem knows our thoughts. Hashem knows our most private conversations. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows it all. And yet, harishus nesuna, says Rav Avadi Mivar Tanura, the second line of source number 4, biyado shel adam lasos tovera. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's permission that he grants us, it's within man's ability, to choose tov ara, to choose good or evil. Kedichsiv, re'ei nasati lefanecha hayom esachayim v'gomer. What psukim is he referring to? He's referring to the psukim in Parshas Nitzavim. The psukim in Parshas Nitzavim tell us in source number 5, re'ei nasati lefanecha hayom esachayim ve'es hatov. Hashem says, I've given you life. I presented to you good options that you can choose. Ves hamavis ves hara. There are destructive things. Things that can kill you physically. Dangerous choices we can make. Things that can harm you spiritually. Hashem says, all the choices are out there for you. Life, death, good, evil. It's all before you. And Hashem calls upon shamayim va'aretz. In Pasuk Yud Tes, ha'idosi b'chem hayom es ha'shamayim v'sa'aretz. Hachayim v'hamavis nasati lefanecha. I call before heaven and earth to testify that the choice is yours. Hashem says, I'm not controlling, I'm not manipulating the variables here. I'm displaying the options before you. Habracha v'haklala. I mean, it shouldn't be so hard to get this right, no? Hashem is saying, this is a good path, this is a bad path. This is a path of life, this is a path that is destructive. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to beg us, he has to ask us, in two very powerful words in the Torah that we're familiar with, uvacharta b'chayim. He writes in his commentary on Pirkei Avos, he has some comments on Pirkei Avos, he says the fact that the Torah tells us to choose the right path, first and foremost, clarifies for us that we have the ability to choose. We shouldn't, God forbid, think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is forcing us down a particular path in life. The choice is ours. There's good, there's bad, uvacharta b'chayim. Hashem begs us, make the proper choices. So let's put the two pieces together now. Rav Avadi Mivar Tanura says, again, Hakol Tzafoy, Hashem knows what you're doing in private. Yeah, what's the second part? V'harishus nesuna, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you the ability to choose. How do you put those two pieces together? I think what Rav Avadi Mivar Tanura is saying is that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our parent, which he is, the Torah calls HaKadosh Baruch Hu our father and calls us his children. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like a parent to us, so what does a parent do when they see that their child is heading down a bad path? What does a good friend do when you see that your friend is making bad choices? So, hopefully, if you really care about the person, and you see that they're doing things that are harming them, be it physical or spiritual. You sit them down, you have an honest conversation, you say, listen, the path that you're choosing is destructive. It's not a good path. But sometimes, and this is a very delicate aspect of parenting or being a friend, to be able to be there for someone and at the same time to know when to sit back and to have the confidence that hopefully they'll learn from their mistakes and make better choices. Sometimes, even when you see and you know that someone's up to no good, you have to sit back, you have to let them choose. Sometimes you have to let them make that mistake, again, and have the confidence in that person that next time they'll make the right choice. Sometimes you have to intervene, but sometimes you have to sit back a little bit. It's what Chazal call the hovering of HaKadosh Baruch Hu over this world, where Hashem is mati v'lo mati. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is touching and not touching at the same time. Hashem strikes this very, very delicate balance of telling us how to live our lives, and at the same time, sitting back. So therefore, maybe what Rav Adi Bartanur is saying, Hakol Safoy, Hashem knows exactly what you're up to. And sometimes in life, from our perspective, we would almost say, Hashem, I wish you would intervene. I wish you would help me. I need you to show up. I need a bas kol to come out of Shemayim and say, hi, Moshe Tzvi, what was that? That was a bad choice. Why'd you do that? And I thought you'd learn from it, but you did it again. So we would expect the Kadosh Baruch Hu to jump in once in a while. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands, despite the fact that he knows exactly what we're up to, he sometimes sees a bad pattern developing, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, but HaRishus Nisuna, but the choice is yours. Maybe that's part of the way that Hashem challenges us. Maybe that's part of the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu expresses his belief in us. I know you messed up last time. This time I'm confident you're going to get it right. One of my rebbeim, Rav Moshe Weinberger, he shared a story 3.5 years ago in a shir that he gave to my Talmidim in YU, he came to our shir. And he told this story at the end of a beautiful shir. He was talking about the importance of making good choices. Rav Weinberger shared a very personal story that I never heard from him before. He said that when he was in sixth grade, he had a particularly bad Rebbe, and he was really turned off, to the point that he was bothering his parents, like, take me out of school, I don't want to be in yeshiva anymore. To the point that his parents, were figuring out, what should we do with him? It was such a terrible situation. He started asking, I want to go to public school. He started asking to go to public school. So his father sat him down one day, and his father said to him, okay, I want to give you the choice. I want you to think about it carefully, but I'm giving you the choice. Now, his father is, Baruch Hashem, he's still alive, a Holocaust survivor, a person who understood how important it is to live a life of Torah, and not to take that for granted. And here his son, a sixth grader, is having a tough time. And now all of a sudden, he wants to throw in the towel. I can only imagine what that must have been like for his father at the time to hear such a thing. But he says to his son, I'm giving you a choice. I want you to think about it carefully. It's a big choice. But if you really want that mommy and I should pull you out of yeshiva and send you to public school, the choice is yours. I want you to think about it. But just think about it carefully. So Weinberger described, as a young boy, he thought about it. And eventually he came back to his father and he said, Daddy, I think I'm going to stay in yeshiva. Okay. Stay in yeshiva. So he said a little while later, because after he had made this choice, he sat down with his father one time, and he says, Dad, I just want to ask you, were you really going to send me to public school? So his father says, over my dead body, there's no way, no chance in the world you're going to public school. So he says, but you told me I had a choice. He said, right, I told you I had a choice because I knew you were going to make the right choice. I was confident that if I gave you the choice, if I fought you, It's gonna create this longing to make the wrong choice. But when I empower you to make the choice, and I trust that I've educated you properly, and I trust that your Jewish neshama knows what Hashem wants from you, I know that you'll make the right choice. So it could be that's part of what this mission is about. That's part of what Rabbi Akiva is telling us. Hakol Tzafoy, Hashem knows exactly the path that we're heading upon. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu also says, listen, I gave you a neshama. I've given you a proper framework by which you can make good choices. Eventually, I know you're going to make good choices. You don't get it right this time around. Gilgul neshamos. Hashem will send your neshama back to this world. You'll try again. You'll get it right next time. Kadosh Baruch Hu is confident that if I give you a little bit of space, despite the fact that I know what you're up to in private. Don't kid yourself. Right? Don't ask me where your brother is. Shomer achi anochi. If you murdered your brother, Kayin, Adam and Chava, you're hiding in the garden. Oh, we didn't realize we were naked. We didn't realize you were looking for us, Hashem. Hashem says, don't play those games with me. I know exactly what you're up to. But at the same time, Hashem says, HaRishus Nisuna, the choice is yours. I trust you that you're eventually going to make the right choice. That's how Rav Adi Mibartanura, again 500 years ago, in his classic commentary on the Mishnah, learns our Mishnah. The Rambam, in his commentary on the Mishnah, understand Tzafuei in a slightly different way. Tzafuei is not that a Kadosh Baruch Hu knows what we're up to in private. But rather, Tzafuei, all is known, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't only see what we're up to now with an unbelievable clarity, even if we've tricked those around us into thinking that we're a certain type of way when we're really not in the privacy of our home. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Tzafuei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees our future. Hashem knows what we're going to do before we do it. And that's the topic that I really want to explore tonight for a couple minutes. A very, very deep topic. The question of HaKadosh Baruch Hu knowing what we're going to do. HaKol Tzafuei. Hashem sees our future. Hashem knows our choices before we've even made them. And yet, Bechira. HaRishus Nesuna. The choice is ours. The struggle and the balance and the very complex philosophical and theological question of Hashem's Yediyah, Hashem's knowledge, and our bechira, and our ability to choose. The Rambam writes in source number 6 in his commentary on the Mishnah, Zeh ha-maimer kolel inyonim gedolim ma'od. This teaching of Rabbi Akiva touches on so many major principles of what it means to be alive, what it means to be a human and a Jew. V'lo yihiyu devarim kmo elu elul Rabbi Akiva. And only someone of the stature of Rabbi Akiva could even introduce us to such a topic. Rabbi Akiva, who himself was the recipient of difficult circumstances in life, and yet found a way to keep choosing and to keep choosing and to keep making better choices. When he was in Am Haaretz for 40 years, he decided at the age of 40, he decided to choose to put himself back in yeshiva. And when his 24,000 students were destroyed, killed in a horrible plague during this time of the year, during the Yemei HaSfira, as the Gemara describes in Maseches Yevamos, Rabbi Akiva chose to start again and to rebuild the yeshiva. Lag BaOmer, people don't realize, Lag BaOmer is not only a celebration next Thursday, 1 week from, we'll have a Shir Amir Hashem next Thursday night. But Lag BaOmer is the celebration not only of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and what he taught to the world, but it's a celebration of his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva. The only reason we didn't make a celebration of Rabbi Akiva's yard site is that Rabbi Akiva died a martyr's death. He was killed in a tragic way at the hands of the Romans. But very much what we're celebrating, the world of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, is a celebration of his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva taught us that you could always choose differently. Don't be a victim of your circumstances. You weren't given an education as a young person. Choose to learn Torah. Rabbi Akiva overcame the odds. When your yeshiva that you worked so hard to build was destroyed, Rabbi Akiva chose to try again. Despite the fact that he could have said, maybe this is just the way Hashem wants it to be. Hakol Tzafuei. Hashem's running the show. So says the Rambam, it's fitting for someone of the stature of Rabbi Akiva to teach us this idea. Vizeh peirushan bekitzer, and this is the idea of Rabbi Akiva. This is what the Mishnah is telling us in short. Uvetanai, and I'm explaining this to you, says the Rambam, on condition shehevanta mashakodim beprakim akodrim, based on having understood what I've explained prior. Omar, kol mashaba olam yadua etzlo yisale vuhu masigo. Everything that takes place in the world is known to Hashem, and Hashem has a complete grasp of it. V'hu omro hakol tzafoy. Hashem knows all. Hashem is omniscient. Hashem knows everything. Hashem is haya, hove, v'yiyah, past, present, and future, which means Hashem knows things before they've even happened. Yet, achar kach amar, but then Rabbi Akiva tells us, v'lo sachshov, don't think, shebiyoso yis'ali yodeha pu'ulos, since Hashem knows what I'm going to do, yischayev ha'achrayach, that makes it of necessity. It doesn't mean that you're forced to do it just because Hashem knows it. V'shiyeh adam kafoy ala pu'ula min ha'pu'ulos, that you're forced to choose a particular path because Hashem already knows it. So it's already been determined. It's predetermined. God forbid, says the Rambam. Ein hadavar kein ela kol amboher. First, what he or she wants to do. And that's what it means. Harishus nisuna ratzalomar rishus kol adam nisuna lo. The ability to choose is given to you. Now, this is one of the deepest topics in all of Torah. How do I understand what appears to be an utter paradox that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what I'm going to do, and yet you're telling me at this moment that I have the ability to choose? You made a choice to come to this shir tonight, okay? You didn't know how hot it was going to be here, but okay, you get extra credit for suffering it out. We'll suffer it out together. Hopefully next week we'll do a little better. Yeah, so you made a choice to learn Torah tonight, right? What time is it? Where are we holding? It's 8:30. Okay. So even if you're an NBA fan, I think you still have a half hour till the game. Okay. So you still have a little time. Right? But you made a choice. There's a lot of other things you could be doing right now. There's a lot of other things you could be doing right now. You chose to come here. Right? What's crazy to think about is that Hashem already knew that. So you may have been sitting at home debating, you know, am I in the mood to go to the shir? Am I not in the mood? I'm a little bit tired. I have other things I need to take care of. I have to cook for Shabbos. I have to go shopping. I have to do this. I have to take care of this. A few more emails from work. Right? So you thought in that moment, you made a real choice. You made a commitment to come out and learn Torah. It's a beautiful choice. And yet, in some way that's beyond time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu already knew that you were going to make that choice. And yet, at the moment you chose it, it felt like you were struggling with such a real choice. That's such a deep concept. That's one of the deepest things of all. And I'm not exaggerating for dramatic effect. That's how the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, when he talks about the relationship between Yediya and Bechira, God's omniscience and our ability to make choices, the Rambam describes it as an endlessly, endlessly deep sugya. The Rambam writes in source number 7, the Rambam about the midway point of Hilchos Tshuva, where the Rambam describes how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is aware of all, Shema Tomar, lest you will say, V'alo HaKadosh Baruch Hu yodea kol ma sheyia. Hashem knows all that is going to be. V'kodem sheyia yoda shezeh yatzadik. Hashem knows already how many mitzvahs you're going to do in your lifetime. How many averas you're going to do in your lifetime. And yet in real time, it feels so real to us. Hashem knows if you're going to be a tzaddik, if you're going to be a rasha. Right? So a person will say, if Hashem knows all this, im yada shu yatzadik yefshar shelo yatzadik. If Hashem knows I'm going to be a tzaddik, so then I guess it's impossible for me to choose otherwise. Vim tomar, and if you'll say at the end of the second line, she yada shu yatzadik v'efshar shu yarasha. And if you'll say you can beat the system, that Hashem knows you're going to be a tzaddik, and you could still choose to be a rasha, well then obviously Hashem's knowledge is imperfect. Harei lo yada hadavar al burio. Then Hashem doesn't know with clarity. So if Hashem really knows, then in what sense am I choosing? If Hashem doesn't really know, right, then I'm questioning the knowledge of God. So either way, we seem to be stuck. Says the Rambam where it's bolded, look carefully in source number 7. Da, you should know. She tshuvas she'ei lazu. The answer, the resolution to this question. Arucha me'eretz mida urechava minayam. It's wider and deeper than the deepest oceans, than the expanse of the universe. It's the most difficult and deep, complex sugya of all. V'kama ikarim gedolim, and major principles, v'hararim ramim tluyim ba. Mountains of Jewish thought are hanging on this principle. So many questions, so many stories in Chumash are connected to this question of how could it be that Hashem knows and yet I still have the ability to choose. Aval tzarech ata leida. But what the Rambam tells us, what you do need to know, as complicated as it is, as confusing as it is, what you need to know, so to speak, halacha lamaisa, ulahavin bedavar zesh ani omer. Listen carefully, says the Rambam, to what I want to tell you. He says, I've already explained to you in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, and he continues where it's bolded. Shakarish baruchu eino yodeya meideya shu chutz mimenu kibnei adam shehem vidaitam shnayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's knowledge is not distinct, is not separate from Hashem himself. In other words, God is one with his knowledge. People, there's me, and then there's the things that I know. Obviously, there's a strong relationship between myself, my personality, my mind, my knowledge, my experience, and who I am. But on some level, there's still two separate entities. There's me, and there's my knowledge. By Hashem, it's not two separate things. Elohu yis'al shemo. The exalted one Hashem, vidaito echad. Hashem is one with his knowledge. Hashem is one with his knowledge. Just like God always was, is, and always will be, so too Hashem's knowledge, again, is past, is present, is future. Ve'ein daito sho'odim yechola lahasig davar ze'al burio. And your puny human mind is not able, says the Rambam, to grasp such a thing. You're simply not able to understand that perfect ability to attach oneself to one's knowledge, to be one with one's knowledge. So we can't understand the eternity of Hashem and the relationship of the eternity of Hashem to the perfection of his knowledge. It's totally different than any understanding that we've ever had. And therefore we get stuck on this question. But from Hashem's perspective, Hashem is not stuck on this question. U'kashem she'ein koach ba'adam lahasig v'limso amitas habore. Just like you can't know Hashem the way that you know this shtender. I can touch it, I can feel it, I understand it, right? I can explore where it came from, who made it, what material it was made from. It's real to me in a way that, unfortunately, as much as I know Hashem, there's still a lack of clarity on some level, even if it's a small level. of Amitas Haborias Baruch, the truth of Hashem. I believe it. I can claim that I know it. Right? But it's a different type of yediyah than something I've experienced in the physical world. As the Pasuk says very clearly, Ki lo yirani ha'odam v'chai. You can't see God and live. In other words, you can't experience HaKadosh Baruch Hu while you're still in your body in this world. You can't have the full experience of Hashem and continue to be in this world. It's simply impossible. Kach ein koach ba'odam l'hasiv l'imtzo daito shabari. So you can't understand the way that Hashem understands. You can't experience Hashem, you can't know Hashem, and you can't know the way that God thinks, because it's one and the same, says the Rambam. Hu shahanavi omer, this is what the Navi said, ki lo machshavosai machshavoseichem, my way of thinking is not your way of thinking, v'lo darcheichem derachai, and my way of acting is not your way of acting. Like we spoke last week, sometimes we would want to choose differently, and Hashem says, there's certain things where you have to surrender your knowledge to the knowledge of Hashem. We can't understand the way that Hashem thinks and the way that Hashem runs the world. The Kevin Shekenhu, says the Rambam in conclusion, Ein banu koach leida heich yada kodesh baruch hu kol habrum v'amaisim. We can't really know how Hashem knows things before it's even happened, and yet we still have the ability to choose. Aval neida below safik. But the Rambam says, but I need you to know without any doubt, shemaisa ha'adam biyad ha'adam, that the choices that you make are yours. Don't blame Hashem. Don't feel that you're forced into a particular circumstance. Hakol tzafoy, Hashem knows. But harishus nesuna, the full permission has been granted to you to make the choice. Shemaisa adam biyara adam, the choice of man is in man's hands. Ve'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu moshcho, Hashem is not dragging you, v'lo gozer alav lasos kach, and Hashem is not forcing you. He's not decreeing that you have to act in a particular way. What's so challenging about this Rambam? The Rambam tells us this is one of the hardest topics. It's endlessly deep. You have to know that, you know, kind of have to just live with it. So the Ravid, in his commentary on the Rambam, his notes alongside the Rambam, printed in every standard edition of the Rambam, the Ravid, in his notes on the Rambam, in source number 8, says, this is not helpful, Rambam. Maimonides, you didn't help us. All you did is make us more aware of that which we're confused by. Says the Ravid in source number 8, he always begins Aleph Aleph, Omer Avram, his name is Avram, Omer Avram, Lo Nohag Zeha Machaber. Now sometimes you have to understand, the Ravid sometimes speaks in a way that we would say is very disrespectful of the Rambam, very fiery words. Okay, so just understand, he says it with the greatest respect for the Rambam, but is often very, very critical of the Rambam. So says the Ravid, Lo Nohag Zeha Machaber Minog HaChachamim. The author, meaning the Rambam, has not acted wisely. This is not helpful. Why do you have to point out, oh, by the way, if you started to think about this, just realize you're going down this hole that's you're never going to get to the bottom of it. Right? So just be prepared to be lost. How does that help? Why are you raising a philosophical question? Let's imagine someone never thought about this question too much, you know? You live your life. It feels like you could choose, no? My wife asked me tonight, there were two soups that were available for dinner. She said, do you want the lentil soup or do you want the, what was the other one? I don't know, I don't remember what it was. Okay, so I said, I'll try the lentil soup, yeah, which my sister-in-law Rina made. Okay, so I had a choice, right? It felt like I had a choice. I made a choice. I consumed the choice. I ate the choice. Yeah, I lived with that choice. So now all of a sudden you show up at this shir, and the Rambam gets up. The Rambam says, let's talk about, you know, Jewish philosophy. And the Rambam says, you should just know that even though you chose, HaKadosh Baruch Hu already had it picked out. So now you're thinking, like, whoa, what is that? Like, what does that mean? Right? So what happens when I make a bad choice? So that's also Hashem picked it. It's not, you know, it's not like my fault. Right? And if you're going to somehow be able to give me a logical, clear pathway through this contradiction, then great. But says the Ravid, why are you reminding people of something that's so confusing? You're not writing in a smart way. She'ein adam maschil bedavar. It's not wise to introduce a topic if you don't know how to finish it. It's not smart to open up kind of this, you know, Pandora's box if you're not sure what the conclusion is going to be. He begins with all these difficult questions. And the Rambam leaves it as a question. So now you Jews walk out of a shir like tonight, you're scratching your head and you're not sure, do my choices really matter? Again, you're telling me it does, but I never really thought about it. If you know already Hashem, then I guess you'll find a way to make kind of whatever happens in my life part of your master plan because you knew it anyways before I even chose it. So why would you introduce us to something that you can't solve? Ve'achziru la'amuna. Then the Rambam says, you just have to have faith. You have to believe that this is just the way that it is. That's not helpful. Vitov hayolo lahaniach adavar b'tmimus. Hatmimim. Leave it alone. You should have left people with amuna pshuta. Would have been better not to explore this question. Velo ya'over libam v'yaniach daitam b'safik. And then to introduce us to this doubt. Now the Rambam, if you remember, the words of the Rambam, in conclusion, was what? Rambam says, I want you to understand, without a suffix in the world, that your choices are real. The Rambam didn't want to leave us with a suffix, but the Ravid seems to have a very fair point. The Ravid himself goes on to try to offer an explanation. He says, maybe it's like an astrologer who's able to read the stars, who knows the future. That doesn't mean that he controls the future, he just knows the future. Maybe a more simple example for us would be, you know, a weatherman who predicts the weather patterns before it even happens. And then it's correct. Oh, look, I knew the future. Again, he wasn't controlling that future. He just had an ability to use a certain wisdom, right, to perceive something before it actually occurred. But again, it's a very deep sugya, and the Rambam himself admits that. And the Ravid says this wasn't helpful. It wasn't helpful for you to introduce something if you're not going to conclude it. Rav Shlomo Volbi Zatzal, the great Mashkiach, in his Shi'urim on Chumash, quoted from Rav Hundner, said, you know why the Rambam wrote this down? Was the Rambam just trying to confuse us? I mean, the Ravid's point seems to be somewhat valid, you know? Why introduce a topic that you can't teach? The Rambam wrote this where? In Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam put this in Hilchos Tshuva. Now, I'm not focusing on the fact that it's in Hilchos Tshuva, but I'm focusing on the fact that it's in his Sefer of Halacha, not philosophy. This is not the Mor Nevuchim, the Rambam's Guide for the Perplexed. This is the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, Halacha. The same Rambam who teaches us how to keep Shabbos, how to make brachos, how to wear tefillin, how to sit in the sukkah, how to blow a shofar. The Rambam, in Halacha, he writes this confusing Halacha. So Rav Hutner says, you know why the Rambam wrote this? Because the Rambam is teaching us that living with this confusion is the Halacha. That's the Halacha. Being able to function with this paradox, Halacha means what? Halichos olam lo. How do I travel through this world? So I could shut down, I could encounter this paradox and say, you know, it's just too confusing, I'm not sure how to function afterwards. Or I could say, you know what, it is confusing, it is a paradox. And yet it's a halacha. It's a halacha of how a Jew lives his or her life. And the Rambam is saying, we can't shy away from the fact that as Jews, we sometimes are asked to live in a paradoxical existence. So yeah, we don't have to know the answer to this question, but it's not going to stop us from functioning. We're going to be able to continue to live and continue to try to make sense of the world, even though Hashem knows, and at the same time, I'm given the ability to choose. Let's take one example, maybe from one of the enemies of Klal Yisrael. I'll talk about someone, you know, chutz l'machane. It's a little easier than talking about our own personal lives and the choices that we've made and how we see a certain hashkacha pratis in them, and yet at the same time, it was still my choice. Let's take a Russia. Let's analyze a Russia who seems to have lost his ability to choose. Let's try to understand what that even means. Who am I referring to? I'm referring, of course, to Paro. Right? Paro seems to lose his ability to choose. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hardens the heart of Paro, seemingly taking away his free will. Now, free will is such a principle that we have to live with, so what exactly happened there? The Chafetz Chaim, in his commentary, the Chafetz Chaim al Torah, in source number 9, raises this question on the words V'ani Akshe Eslev Paro in Parshas Va'era. Hashem says, I will harden the heart of Paro. And the Chafetz Chaim asks, "V'rabu shaolim." Many have asked the question, "Eich zenin olu b'fnei Paro dalso sachuva?" How could a Kadosh Baruch Hu take away Paro's free will? How could you harden his heart? How could you make it impossible for him to live his life? Isn't that a Kadosh Baruch Hu breaking the rules? Isn't this one of the fundamental rules by which the game of life is played? That man has the ability to choose? It doesn't seem fair. Halo b'derech klal shari tshuva einam ninalim. And again, if you see it as a sugya in Tshuva, which is again where the Rambam put this topic in Hilchos Tshuva, right? So isn't it unfair? Doesn't it contradict what we learned at the beginning when Rav Weinberger's father gave him the choice to choose where he's going to go, hoping he'll make the right choice? Isn't that what the Bar Tanura was telling us? That even though Hashem knows you sometimes do bad things, the privacy of your home, but Hashem says, I'm not going to jump in and take away your ability to live your life. I'm willing to take a risk and hope that you're going to make the right choices. So how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu take away the freedom of Paro, his ability to choose? So I'll tell you how the Rambam answers this question. How does the Rambam himself answer this question? And then we'll see what the Chafetz Chaim said. The Rambam, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, in more recent times, answered it the same way, right? Each in their own signon, in their own style. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva in the sixth parak in source number 10. Ve'efshar sheyechta ha'adam chet gadol. It is sometimes possible that we make such bad choices, and it's a terrible tragedy. You become like a parah where Hashem says, you know what? You've either made a single choice that is so destructive, or chata'im rabim, or you've made many smaller bad choices, to the point where Hashem says, I just can't let this go on like this. And therefore Hashem says, I'm punishing you with the greatest punishment of all. And you know what the greatest punishment of all is? When God says, I don't believe in your ability to make choices anymore. And basically, you've proven that you're a bad person, and I'll block you from making good choices now. And your punishment is, you lose your free will, you're sort of trapped in your negative choices with an inability to get out of it. That's a very scary thought. But that's what the Rambam says. Sometimes a person has sinned and repeatedly sinned, until the true judge, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, decides, Shi'eha piraon mizeha chote al chatam elu, sha'asabiratzono, you've, with the free will that I've given you, you've chosen again and again and again the wrong choice, to the point that Hashem says, I can't let this continue. To the point where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is monin mimenu ha'tshuva, Hashem blocks your ability to do tshuva. Ve'ein manichen lo rishus, lashuv meirisho. Hashem doesn't want you to get out of that mess because Hashem wants you. It sounds scary and sounds maybe almost un-Jewish to us based on other sources we might know. But Hashem wants you to die kedei sheyamus v'yavud b'cheto sheyasa. Hashem wants you to have to answer for your averos. I don't want you finding a way out. It's very intense. And he says that's exactly, he goes on right after the three dots in the third line. That's what the Torah says. Hashem hardened the heart of Paro because Paro was so cruel and was so evil for so long and he was so manipulative that Hashem says, Paro, you're going to have to answer. There's no way you're going to ever find a way out of this mess. And I'm taking away your free will. That's how the Rambam and some Rishonim and Achronim understand maybe the Pashut Pshat of the Torah. It's very interesting. The Chizkuni says almost the exact opposite. The Chizkuni says, you know why Hashem hardened Paro's heart? To help him to choose. What does that mean? Imagine, you know, put yourself in Paro's shoes for a minute. Yeah, Dom, Tzvardeya, Kinim, Arov. As the plagues are happening all around you, it becomes obvious at a certain point that I'm going to let the Jews go. But Hashem says, if I force you to let the Jews go, that's not your choice. So you know what Hashem did to create that equilibrium, to allow Paro to actually choose? Hashem hardened Paro's heart. I mean, Hashem gave Paro the strength to withstand the Makos so that he could actually make a real choice. You hear how it's the very opposite? Meaning the Rambam's saying, Paro chose so badly that God took away his ability to choose, no longer given the ability to choose. The Chizkuni says, Paro was being so beaten from the Makos that if Hashem didn't give him the strength, he would just crack under pressure and just let the Jews go. But that also wouldn't be his choice. So Hashem had to strengthen Paro's heart to restore that equilibrium, to give him the ability to choose. That would fit nicely with what we've been learning the first part of this year. But says the Chafetz Chaim, an amazing approach to the hardening of the heart of Paro. And it will help us to understand how HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with all of us, right, when we make those bad choices. It's an amazing idea. The Chafetz Chaim writes in the continuation of his passage in source number 11, Ela inyin hu, ki yeshnam chotim shemin hashamayim ozrim lahem lachzor b'tshuva. You have to understand, like that loving parent, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants so badly, when he sees that we're making bad choices, he wants to help us. And even if Hashem doesn't jump in and take over the situation and start steering you through life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you in different ways from a distance. Hashem will send a message your way, or send an opportunity your way, or send something your way to try to just ever so slightly, not to grab the steering wheel, but to help you to get back on the proper path. Hashem is ozer. Hashem helps and guides a person towards tshuva. Kamosha anu mispal, like we daven, hachzirenu b'tshuva shleima lefanecha. Hashem, help bring us back. At least put me, you know, send little helpers along the road of life to make it a little easier for me to make the right choices. However, says the Chafetz Chaim, yesh chotim shehigdishu esasa, but sometimes we've made so many bad choices that Hashem says, if you're going to get out of this mess, it's not going to be with all my little helpers. You're in such a dark place that the only way you're really going to make a change in your life is if you really make a change in your life. So you know what Hashem does? Hashem says, I'm taking away, I'm not blocking you from doing tshuva. This is more familiar, this is more familiar to us, this way of thinking. Certainly this is, anyone who attends these shiurim, this is definitely more the style of how we usually talk in this type of shiur. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not blocking a Jew from coming back to him, God forbid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not reaching out to you anymore. I try to help you, I try to guide you. HaKol Tzafoy, HaRishus Nesuna, I know what's going to be. I give you the ability to choose. I try to even help you along the way. But sometimes you've made such bad choices that Hashem says, okay, if you're going to change, now it's in your hands. You're going to have to really step it up significantly. And I'm done helping. I've tried to help you. I've tried to guide you. I've tried to position you in such a way that you can make the good choices. But now, Hashem says, it's mamish in your hands. HaRishus Nesuna. If you want to change, it's entirely up to you. I'm not helping you anymore. And the Chafetz Chaim connects it to the very tragic story of Elisha ben Avuya. Elisha ben Avuya was a holy Tana, a contemporary of Rabbi Akiva, the author of this very Mishnah that we're learning, who went astray from the path of Torah Yiddishkeit, to the point that a heavenly voice came out and declared, Shuvu banim shovavim, everyone is encouraged to do tshuva, chutz me'acher, chutz me'Elisha ben Avuya, with the exception of Elisha ben Avuya. Imagine, a voice comes out of heaven and says, you're not able to do tshuva anymore. Says the Chafetz Chaim, he was still able to do tshuva. But you know what that voice was saying? Hashem said, I'm done reaching out to you. Right? I'm not calling you anymore. It's up to you now to decide when you want to call me. That choice is still yours. That choice is always still yours. When do you want to reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's maybe the ultimate expression of a Rishus Nesuna. It's the ultimate expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu empowering us to make the choice when Hashem says, you know what, I can't help you. You have to believe in your ability to choose if anything's going to change. Because all the little, you know, all the little helpers that I've sent you along the way, you haven't got it. You haven't received it. You haven't appreciated it. So Hashem says, because of your bad choices, the only thing that's going to really make you change is if you dig really deep and you choose to make a change in your life. There's an unbelievable Gemara in Avodah Zarah. I know we only have a couple minutes left. But we have to learn together this Gemara in Avodah Zarah. And again, there's so much more. We're touching on a topic that should really be like a, you know, many, many weeks of study. We're literally, barely scratching the surface. But again, this is the halacha, like Rav Huttner told us. We have to learn to live with this paradox and to make the right choices as best we can. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah describes the very opposite of what we were just learning. We were learning about how certain Rishayim lose HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help, or maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to the Rambam, blocks them from doing tshuva. The other end of the spectrum is someone who's really, really, really good, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspends their free will. Do we have such a case in Jewish history? So I'll show you a very perplexing Gemara. A very, very perplexing Gemara. Look at this Gemara. It's an amazing Gemara. The Gemara says in Maseches Avodah Zarah in source number 12, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Lo asu Yisrael es ha'egel, elalitein pischon peh lebale tshuva. How did it come to be that those awesome Jews who came out of Mitzrayim, who stood at Har Sinai, how did they make an egel? Now, I'm not going, there's many different approaches to what the egel itself was. Was it Avodah Zarah? Was it a replacement of Moshe Rabbeinu? What exactly was it? Was it L'shem Shemayim? Was it the egel is a very complicated sugya in and of itself. The Chet, the egel is a big part of our Jewish history. And yet, says Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, the Jewish people only made the Chet egel that it should serve as a pischon peh, as an opening to a conversation with a Baal Tshuva. In other words, it almost sounds like Hashem forced us to make the Egel so that when people in the future get themselves into trouble, they can look to those great Jews who messed up and say, oh, well, those great Jews messed up. So, and they, you know, they eventually got their act together. So even though I've made bad choices, maybe I can get my act together. Did Hashem force us to make the Egel? Did we not have free will in making the Egel? Lo asu Yisrael es ha'egel. What does that mean? Look at Rashi in source 13. Lo asu Yisrael es ha'egel, klomar, giborim v'shlitim b'yitzrom hayu. The Jews of that generation were such strong Jews who were in control of the Yetzer Hara. It didn't make any sense. How could such a group of Jews descend to a chet ha'egel? It makes no sense. V'lo hayu roilis gabri yitzrom aleim. It doesn't make sense that the Yetzer Hara should have convinced them of such a thing. They were in control of the Yetzer Hara. So how did it happen? How do you have such a stain on Jewish history like the Chet HaEgel? Ela gzeiras melech haisa lishlot bam kedei litein pischon peh labali tshuva. Says Rashi very clearly, on Daf Dalet Amud Beis Maseches Avodah Zarah. He says it again on Daf Hey Amud Aleph. It was a Gezeiras HaMelech. The king decreed it. Hashem forced it to be. Why did Hashem force a Chayda Egel? This is such a difficult Gemara, because the Gemara elsewhere in Sanhedrin, for example, says that till this day we're paying off Chayda Egel. You remember the other week when you got a flat tire on the highway? That was because of Chayda Egel. Right? It was such a terrible choice that we're still answering for it. Says the Gemara, no, we didn't actually choose it. Nah, those Jews never would have chosen it. It was Hashem manipulated us to create an Egel, to really mess up, so that way in the future when people mess up, they'll be able to look to those Jews who made the Egel and get chizik. Ah, they made a mistake. All right, so I'm also human, I also make mistakes. Go back to the Gemara again in Source 12, in the third line. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, Lo David roi la'oso maisa, for those who remember, the incident of David and Bathsheba. How could David get involved in something that looks so improper? V'lo Yisrael re'uyin la'oso maisa, and it wasn't fitting for Klal Yisrael to be involved in the Chet HaEgel, and yet it happened. So why did it happen? Says the Gemara, two lines from the end in source number 12, Ela lama asu, why did it happen? Lo merlecha, to teach us, Shim chata yachid, if an individual sins, and you need to look to another great individual who messed up, so you look at David HaMelech, and you say, wow, if King David could sin, if he could make mistakes, and still become a great person, so all the more so I can make mistakes and still become a great person. And if it's Sibor sins, if a group of people mess up, so again, you look to the Jews who made the Chet HaEgel, and you say, wow, such a group of Jews can mess up, and they were able to recover, so I can also, you know, recover from my shortcomings. Did Hashem really force us to make the Egel? There's a commentary on the Gemara called the Toras Chaim. And the Toras Chaim on this Gemara explains, similar to what we were learning from the Chafetz Chaim, what it really means is the Jews of that generation, because they were on such a great level, they should have had Hashem's help. Again, Hashem tries to help Jews to make the right choice. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't force you to make an Egel. What Hashem can do is take away his protection. As the Gemara says in Maseches Sukkah, the Yetzirah is always ready to pounce, always trying to get us, getting stronger each day. And if Hashem doesn't help you, none of us would last the day. So Hashem suspended their assistance, and that allowed them to make a bad choice. But it's a hard Gemara. It almost seems like Hashem set us up to make this Aveira, to do this horrible Aveira, the Chet HaEgel. That's somehow the bridge between Yediyah and Bechira. In some way, Hashem says, yes, it had to be. Chet HaEgel had to be. And at the same time, we chose it, and we have to feel bad about it. We have to try to rectify it. What a deep paradox. Right? But that's sort of the world of Yediyah and Bechira coming together. I realized an amazing thing this afternoon. I realized, got it from my father, gematrias. Yediyah, what's the gematria of the word Yediyah? Let's do a quick gematria together. What's the gematria of the word Yediyah? Right? That's what we call it. The sugya is Yediyah and Bechira. Right? Yediyah is 99. Yod, Dalet, Yod, Ayin, Hey. It's 99. What's the gematria of the word Bechira? Beis, Ches, Yod, Resh, Hey. 225. Okay? So what's the difference? What, so to speak, the space between Yediyah and Bechira? Yediyah is 99, Bechira is 225. The difference between them is 126. You know, I realized this afternoon. The gematria of Chet HaEgel is gematria 126. Chet HaEgel is mamish, the bridge between the world of Yediyah and Bechira. Does Hashem force us to do our biggest mistakes? Was it something we chose? Is it to teach a lesson? Is there this overarching, you know, guidance of creation that Hashem says, I need a Chet HaEgel to give chizik to Jews in 2019 when they make bad choices? That David HaMelech should have to go through the embarrassing display of what happened with Bathsheba so that someone in the future could maybe get chizik from that? Is that fair? I don't know if it's fair. It's complicated. But that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to make the reality of our existence. That paradox is what we're forced to live with. I want to just conclude with an insight into Esav and a very complex but beautiful and insightful passage of Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin. Esav was born, and immediately we suspect that Esav is a Rasha. He comes out of his mother's womb, and the Torah describes in Source 14, Vayetze HaRishon Admoni. Esav comes out and he's red. Red is the opposite of purity. Red is the color of sin. Red is kind of what we expect from an Esav. And yet, it's only a couple of psukim later, after the children grow up, Yaakov and Esav grow up, and they start to go their separate ways. And all of a sudden, Yaakov is busy cooking a soup, and Esav comes in from the field, the day of hunting and maybe murdering, according to Chazal. And he says to Yaakov in Pasuk Lamed, Haliteini na bin ha'adom ha'adom hazeh, give me from this red soup, this red lentil soup to drink, ki ayef anochi, because I'm starving, I'm tired. Says the Pasuk, Al kein kara shemo Edom. And therefore Esav is called the red one. Nu, what's the question? Why is Esav called red? Because of the red soup. Didn't the Pasuk already tell us that when Esav was born, he was V'yetze harishon admoni kulo kada esayar? When he came out of his mother's womb, he was red. So immediately we should have called him red. Why is it only years later? I mean, it's just a couple of psukim, but it's years and years. The children grow up. Esav and Yaakov go their separate ways. Esav is a fierce hunter. Yaakov is a ishtam yoshev awalim. And now Esav comes back from the field. A murderer. He sells the bechorah for a bowl of lentil soup. And now the Torah says, oh, red soup. He's called red. Why wasn't he called red when he was born? I once heard a beautiful explanation. It's true. Esav may have been born with certain netiyah, a certain inclination towards certain things. But he still had the ability to choose. It's only when he chose to live the life of red, when he was willing to make a choice and trade away his firstborn rights, a spiritual right, for a bowl of lentil soup, that's when he actualized that reality. He became Edom. He became Edom in that moment. That's why he's called Edom. It's true. There was. Everyone's born in a context. He was born Admon. He was born red. But he only became red when he chose that life for himself. And that's the challenge that the Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us. Of course, there's a lot of reasons why we think our circumstances are predetermined. But Hashem says, no, hakol tzafoy. I may know what's going to be, but I was just as soon as the choice is entirely yours. Last but not least, Rav Tzadik Kohen of Lublin, the great Kohen of Lublin, the Tzadik from Lublin, who has a very, very complex whole approach to this entire sugya. And it really, again, would require a lot of explanation. Maybe I'm doing exactly what the Ravid was yelling at the Rambam about. You know, sharing information and not properly explaining it. And I apologize if it leads to any confusion. But Rav Tzadik Kohen Lublin writes in Source 15, Iker ha-tshuva, hu ad she-yayir Hashem einav she-yazdonos kizuchuyos. What is tshuva? Again, this whole sugya appears in the Rambam's Hilchos Tshuva, interestingly enough. Tshuva is also one of the biggest topics. The Gemara says tshuva preceded the world. Our whole life is about tshuva, getting closer to Hashem. So it says Rav Tzadik Kohen of Lublin, tshuva is about HaKadosh Baruch Hu hopefully illuminating our eyes and helping us and our ability to choose to turn our zedonos into zuchuyos, to turn our averos into mitzvos, to realize that the bad choice I made in the past can teach me something to make a better choice in the future. And that's what it means when an avera becomes a mitzvah. The Gemara says, if you do tshuva in a sincere way, your avera becomes a mitzvah. You can understand that as like a metaphysical thing. Hashem changes the scorecard in Shemayim. Rav Soloveitchik said, it's not a metaphysical thing. What does it mean that tshuva turns an avera into a mitzvah? If I learn from my mistake, then the choice I make next time, right, is motivated, is driven by the mistake. Because I've learned from that mistake. That's what it means. I turned my avera into a mitzvah. I turned the bad choice into a lesson, a life lesson, where I learned from it and I made a better choice. Ratzal lomar, she yakir ve'avin shekol ma shechot tohaya gam kin beratzon Hashem yisbach. Says Rav Tzadok, it's the realization that yes, on some very dakustic, very fine level, the worst choices I made, there was a little bit of a Kodesh Baruch Hu pushing me down that path. Again, it's not my place to blame Hashem and to excuse myself for my averos. But on some small level, after the choice has been made, when I realize it wasn't the right choice, there's a reason I made that choice. Even the averos of our life. Obviously, it's a very delicate thing Rav Tzadok is saying. Uketam yediya ubechira, like we've been learning. That's the topic, yediya and bechira. Hashem's knowledge and our free will. Shebir ha'arizal besof sefer arba meos shekel kesef, as the holy Arizal, the great Mekubal, the Arizal explained, sheshnehem emes. To make the paradox just one step deeper. They're both true. They're both true. Hashem is controlling and you're choosing. They're both true. Kol echad b'machum b'fnei atzo. Each one in its proper place. Almost as two parallel tracks of existence. B'machum ha-bechira, when you're choosing, sham ein makum liyadiyah. It's ke'ilu, Hashem doesn't even know. U'v'machum ha-yadiyah, when you look at it from the perspective of yadiyah, from the perspective of God's knowledge, sham be'emes ein makum ha-bechira. It's ke'ilu, in truth, you don't have the ability to choose. There is a certain way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guiding your life. And when a person understands this, says Rav Tzadok, ukeshamasig la'or zeh ha'atzum,
as shavu kol zedonosa bilti yotze me'omek yediyas Hashem yisparach v'hu v'dayta v'ratzono akol echad.
And when I become comfortable with this paradox, right, then I'm able to live a life that's illuminated by the light of a Kadosh Baruch. It's a very, very deep thing. I'll just tell one quick story. Since I already went over time, I might as well end with a good story. There was a tzaddik in Yerushalayim who was known to be a Baal Mofis. He understood tremendous things. He was almost like a person who could see the future. So someone once came to the tzaddik and he wanted to trip him up. So he comes to the tzaddik and he's holding a butterfly in his hand. Yeah, and he says, "What's in my hand?" So he says, "A butterfly." He says, "Okay, it's impressive that you knew that." He says, "So let me ask you, is the butterfly alive or is the butterfly dead?" And the fellow is thinking, whatever the tzaddik says, he's going to lose. Right? If he says that the butterfly is alive, then I'll crush the butterfly ever so gently, and I'll show him the butterfly is dead. And if he says he's dead, then I'll open my hands, and I'll show him the butterfly is still alive. Right? The tzaddik wasn't only a person who could see the future, he was an intelligent person, and he understood what was happening before him. And he said, is the butterfly alive or dead? He said, that, my friend, the choice is yours. So that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I know exactly what's going on here, but at the end of the day, how we choose to live our life is entrusted to us. So, Mirtzo Hashem, we should be able to live halacha l'maisa. We should be able to live with this paradox and to find a sense of yeshiva das to make those right choices and to make a Kadosh Baruch Hu proud. Good Shabbos. Look forward to seeing everyone next week. Mirtzo Hashem.